Worldwide Excellence in Travel, Accessibility in Partnership with the Blind by Bala Dalvi. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Bala Dalvi. From the editor, Bala Dalvi is the Vice President of Technology and the Executive Sponsor of Accessibility at Expedia Incorporated, located in Bellevue, Washington. His was one of the more moving presentations at the 2017 National Convention because it was so clearly motivated by sincerity, enthusiasm, and the pride that comes with success. Part of what made it wonderful was the humility surrounding what Expedia has done, its willingness to share it with other industry-leading companies, and its absolute commitment to emphasize the importance of working with the National Federation of the Blind to achieve accessibility, not after it is needed, but before. Here are remarks that, while they are somewhat technical, clearly indicate what can be done with commitment, a willingness to learn, and a willingness to be a great corporate citizen.
Thank you. Thank you, President Recubano, for that gracious introduction. Good morning. I am honored to be here at this NFB convention, and I'm excited to talk about Expedia's journey to the accessibility. First of all, we have good news. I am happy to share that as of June 29th, our brand Expedia webpage for booking hotels, flights, cars, and other travel products have been handed off to NFB for their final feedback. We want to thank the NFB for helping Expedia. Thank you. We want to thank the NFB for helping Expedia be the best example of an accessible travel website. And I'm also proud of all the hard work and effort that our teams put in for the last 4+ years to make this happen. Really, really proud to be here. I'll tell you about how we got here, but before that, I wanted to spend a few minutes and talk about why we invested in this space. Why make our website accessible? As President talked about, when Travelocity became part of Expedia family, we came to know that Travelocity had an agreement with NFB. We were interested in understanding how Expedia stacked up. So we invited President Recubano and Ann Taylor, I think somebody referenced her. She was, I believe, Director of Access Technology at the NFB at the time, to come to our Bellevue headquarters. And let me tell you, those early conversations were a little uncomfortable. We had completed accessibility assessment of our sites, and we found that we were over 50% compliant. So we felt very good about going into those meetings. But Anne did a live demo of using our website to our leadership team. During the demo, Anne could not even get past our homepage. And that is when we realized that even if we were 90% compliant, if a legally blind person cannot get past homepage, how can they complete their hotel booking? How can they complete their travel? If we were serious, we needed to make the full path compliant to be truly accessible. Our leadership team felt strongly that we did not just want to follow the letter of the law. We wanted to go deeper, and we wanted to make our website inclusive to the users with diverse set of abilities. We wanted to invest in doing the right thing. And as my favorite author, Simon Sinek, says, when there is a clear why, it inspires people to take action. And this is exactly how our leadership felt. We wanted to take action. We wanted to invest deeper and make our website inclusive to users with diverse abilities. And that was our goal. Now that we had a clear why, we now came to the part where the rubber hits the road. We operate over 200 websites worldwide. We have 150+ mobile applications. We support 40 languages. We have 5,000 engineers working across 20 major locations worldwide. And we needed to view accessibility through not only the products, but through the people and the technologies that were used to build these products. Fortunately, we had done similar broad changes across our websites in past, and we had a playbook that we can lean on. We started by hiring an experienced accessibility resource on our team. Our focus was twofold. Number one, build the knowledge base. Create a library of documentation and training material that we can share with the rest of the organization. And number two, assessment of our hotel shopping and booking path for accessibility. We want to understand what was the size of the challenge that was ahead of us. Throughout the different phases of our accessibility journey, we had a strong partnership with NFB. We sought inputs, guidance, and expertise from the NFB. Their support was invaluable and shaped our thinking throughout this journey. First step, we decided to make our hotel's path accessible. Initially, we thought, accessibility was all about testing. We believed everything would be caught by testers, and then we'd fix whatever we find. But what we realized is finding that towards the end of the life cycle was not the right answer. We quickly learned that issues were found too late, our schedule slipped, we had to make major refactoring, we had to make some design changes, and that was not comfortable. That was our lesson number one here. Retrofitting code and making website accessible is very hard. Accessibility must start from the initial product inception and has to be the top of the mind throughout the entire development lifecycle. And every discipline needs to do their part, to do their key piece to make sure that we support that right. Along the way, as we got the better sense of the scope of the challenge ahead of us, we realized that one person team is not going to be successful. We needed a talented group of subject matter experts. We hired few and we created what we now call an accessibility team. These folks continue to look for ways to serve the larger product, engineering, and user experience organizations and help them make successful. Having this small accessibility team of experts is a great start. But is that going to be all that takes for us to be make a rest of the sites accessible? Probably not. We needed larger organization to align with our goal, and this was a massive effort. We needed to make accessibility part of our engineering culture. With that in mind, we formed a small grassroots effort within Expedia called Accessibility Champions Network. So this Champions Network is a small group of advocates in engineering, product, and UX teams. They help incorporate accessibility throughout the product lifecycle. They aim to implement accessibility early and eliminate costly retrofitting. The champions owned accessibility within their own areas, but they were supported by the central accessibility team through the trainings, through the tools, networking, and other resources. This group of champions rallied the organization for accessibility day in and day out. Making our website accessible one page at a time would have been costly and time-consuming. And this is where our past investment in building our website using what we call UI component library was very important. A dedicated team of resources is responsible for building this component library. We asked this team to take on the challenge of updating the component library and make them accessible. The rest of the teams were then able to move quickly and easily make their pages accessible because they were able to benefit from the library of accessible components. I can't emphasize the importance of this UI component library in the success that we had with accessibility. I want to share a quick story here. We had Amy Mason, our NFB contact, join us for GAD last year. We had her sit down with our team and give us real-time feedback on the products that we were updating and making accessible. Our engineers were able to incorporate her feedback real-time into those library components and update those pages. Amy loved it. She was truly impressed how quickly we were able to make those changes, and we loved it because we could get more of her time to get more real-world feedback. It was a big win. Our passionate accessibility team identified and leveraged every opportunity to create awareness of accessibility across our org. This was super important for us in developing accessibility culture. I want to share a couple of examples here. We have this forum called Product Review. And Product Review, as the name suggests, is a review of our product. Our CEO, Dara, and all the engineers that work on this product are all in attendance. We were lucky to have our blind employee demo the changes that we made to the site in this forum. This was very powerful in two ways. Number one, we were able to clearly show where we are making the progress, and we are also able to show where we are still needed to work on. And this was happening across all aspects of our team, from the leadership all the way to the engineer. So this was really powerful us to get that message across, to get the organization behind this effort. Another example of communication was hackathons. The previous speaker talked about hackathons. I think it's a beer and pizza party. Yes, that's what it is. But there is other things that go with that. We host internal and external hackathons as part of our efforts to foster the innovation. And last year, we invited engineers from the Seattle area tech community to join and had a special prize to give to a hacking team that would build an accessible travel experience during this event. This special prize we supported during the hackathon was a big hit, and it really shed some light on the users with disabilities for the community outside our company. Most folks did not know that Expedia had an accessibility program, but they were really excited about our inclusivity. Many didn't understand screen readers or the people with visual impairment could even use the internet. It was really empowering for our team, the champions, the accessibility team, to represent those with the disabilities as well as be on the other side of the fence when they were working on the accessibility for fixing. Now they are able to be the advocates, be the champions for rest of the community. And last but not least, it was a huge opportunity for us to generate innovative accessibility ideas, and that was great too. There is an important lesson for others embarking on this journey here. Accessibility needs to be top-down and bottom-up. We needed the leadership support to ensure that it was priority, but also needed the folks doing the day-to-day work to get it and be able to speak to the need among their peers. As I said, when the organization gets it, it shapes the culture and it makes such magnitude of change happen. In addition to getting the broader alignment and getting the teams excited, we also invested in building in-house accessibility lab. Lab included hardware, software, and documentation that was necessary to provide easy testing opportunities for our engineers, for developers, for testers, for designers, etc. Our lab also had a dedicated screen reader testing machine that anybody could use. And that was really powerful. In my experience, when you make such a cross-cutting changes across your site, these kind of changes come with some kind of side effects. Sometimes there's good side effects, and other times there are some side effects that you may not be wanting. But I'm happy to share that side effects of making our site accessible were all good. What we found is that making the components and pages accessible always had a positive impact for usability for all the users. We ran into, for example, in a serious challenge, making a mobile date picker accessible. This forced us to dig deeper into our design and implementation. But the end result was a date picker component that is much easier to use for all the users. Another side effect of implementing accessibility was that the improvement in the quality of our code. And this is really critical. Accessibility forced us to simplify our designs and make sure that all the important attributes in the markup were always present. This led to a better quality product. And ask any seasoned engineer and they'll tell you, simple is always easy to maintain. And maintainability is a huge win for us as well. In summary, in my mind, three things made our journey successful. Number one, having that clear why. Why are we doing this? Number two, making accessibility integral part of our product development lifecycle. And number three, creating an environment and culture to support the accessibility. Now that we have made our website accessible, what's next? As we look to the future, we would love to share our learnings and make it a little bit easy for others embarking on this journey of accessibility and inclusion. One way we are doing this is by sending our team to attend the relevant conferences and share our experiences there. We are also doing presentations at some of the local code academies. These examples in our mind is how we are extending our hand in helping proliferate accessibility throughout the industry and potentially influencing the technology curriculum as well. In addition to making our website accessible, we're trying to integrate these learnings to make our workplace accessible as well. We would like to make it easy for individuals with disabilities to join the workforce and be part of our travel experiences. And these are long efforts, and we always understand that. And we use this thing called Be Better Every Day. And one example that I would want to share here on that. Recently this week, earlier this week in fact, I attended a meeting that was hosted by our president. He wanted all the leaders to come together and talk about where we're trying to go. And he had this document that he created to present us and to talk about what his thoughts were. And his document had two big images. When our head of HR saw that, she asked him, you needed to add some alt text with those images. Now, this meeting, we did not have anybody with disability attending, but her point was, doing the right thing does not need to wait for it. It starts with everyone taking small steps. We know this is a long journey, but we know if we maintain the resolve and take one step at a time, we will make it happen. I want to thank all of you for valuable time and listening to our journey. Last but not least, I want to thank the NFB for the continued partnership and support. We wouldn't have done it without you. Thank you.